Transitioning a little bit in our sermon series of where we've been. We went from Amos to several weeks speaking about more of a topical time on loving our neighbor. What does it mean to love those around us? And in that, we learned a lot and we're encouraged a lot in different ways about the love of God and our love for others. And now, as we often do in the summer, we take some weeks just to be in the Psalms, to spend time walking through these songs filled with grace and filled with truth. And this summer, I'm planning, at least at this point, to do things just a little bit differently. Typically, we have one psalm and we walk through that psalm. And we walk verse by verse through that. But this summer, I want to do something just a little bit different and look at some of those major themes within the book of Psalms and follow that theme a little bit. We'll probably be mainly in one psalm, but look at some others and kind of follow that theme throughout. And that is something we're going to do today. And even this sermon today is a little bit different than my other sermons. Normally, I have point one, two, three, and like last week we had 7 points. I don't know how that happened, but that's how it was. But this week, I thought I'd scale back, and there aren't going to be any points on the board. So some of you, you're going to be like, oh my goodness, you're totally throwing us off. And others of you are just rejoicing. You're like, yes, freedom, no points. Not that there's no point. But no normal outline that I would normally put up on the screen. So today, as we look, we're going to look a lot in Psalm 90. And to look at the steadfast love of the Lord, which is a huge theme throughout Scripture. Just search steadfast love of the Lord. Or maybe if you're in your Scripture, it says unfailing love, or whatever that phrase is in your translation, and you will find it filled throughout. And it is a theme that is not a minor note, but it's a major theme within Scripture, the love of our God. And as I think about it, I think of it too as that of an anchor that's in our life. The steadfast love of the Lord is something we can anchor into. And we should. It enables us, as we're going to see today, even just to wake up daily and to walk with our God. We need the steadfast love, the unfailing love of our God to satisfy us, to make us get glad, to anchor in. As I was thinking about this theme, just of steadfast love and anchoring, I'd watched recently a newer movie called Last Breath. And I'm not going to give any huge spoilers, but really the trailer itself is kind of a spoiler because it's a true story, really kind of a bit of a documentary of it, of this story, of this encounter of these men who go out in the middle of the ocean and they fix the pipeline, the oil pipelines. They go hundreds of feet down and they fix these things. And this is a story of one where they went out and there was a tragedy at sea in this. There's a huge storm. The ship, this is a ginormous ship. I don't even know how big it is. You're just being tossed and turned by the ocean. And there's men working down at the bottom of the ocean floor. And they have these, I guess you could call them umbilical cords, where they have all the air and communication and everything up to the ship. And there's this huge storm, and they lose their navigation, their stability of the ship, so it's kind of adrift. And one of the men's, their safety umbilical cord, of their all their oxygen and things gets caught on some of the rigging underneath. And for a moment, it becomes this anchor. There's this ginormous ship, tossed in the sea and yet anchored by this really what would be a weak anchor. And it just made me think of how in our life there's just so many things going on. We must anchor in on truth that does stabilize us, even though things around us might be going up and down and shifting our life and turning us and swiveling us around. And yet, when we anchor our life in the truth of God's word, there is hope and there's stability in that. And this is such a strong anchor. Now, I've heard it said one way that the love of God, it's not a shallow doctrine, because you might be like, well, okay, isn't there anything deeper we can go into today? Well, the love of God is not a shallow doctrine. And we see even in Christ and his teaching, he anchors the law and the prophets in the love of God and love of others. It's a significant thing, our call to love and God's love poured out upon us. I also think of Psalm 106 that says this, 106 verse 7, our fathers, when they were in Egypt, did not consider your wondrous works. And then it says, they did not remember the abundance of your steadfast love. And then what does it say? But instead they rebelled. We're called to remember the steadfast love of the Lord. It is an anchor, even in our obedience, as it is a measure of his grace for us. And think of, as we've gone through these Love of Neighbor series, I think of 1 Corinthians 13 that we walked through, where there was this church in Corinth that they thought they kind of had it together, and they were ready to boast about those who they followed, the teachers that they followed, and the gifts they had. But Paul said, you can have all of those amazing, outwardly stupendous things, but if you do not have love, it's nothing. No. So this theme of the steadfast love of the Lord is a significant theme that we can anchor into even today. So we're going to look at Psalm 90. A lot of our time will be in that, but we're not going to look at the whole of the psalm, which we normally would do. But Psalm 90, it is the first in a series of psalms from Psalm 90 to 106, which is the fourth book in the psalm. And in this series of psalms, there's this huge theme of the Lord, of Yahweh, who is king, who reigns over all his people. And here we have this psalm of Moses, a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And this is the only psalm in the psalms that is attributed to Moses, but we have a couple other songs that you might be familiar with of Moses. In Exodus 15, he sings as the Lord delivers the people of God through the Red Sea. And in Deuteronomy 32, as they're about to enter in to the promised land, he sings again a song that speaks of the history and some of the rebellion, but the faithfulness of the Lord. As before they enter in the promised land, before Moses goes to the top of Nebo and dies. But here we have this psalm. And this Psalm 90, it is a somber psalm. If you take time even this week to read through it and walk through it. And in it, it speaks about who God is. It speaks about who we are, who man is. And it also speaks about the reality of death, of the sinfulness of mankind. And it also addresses, as it speaks about God, his eternal nature, who he is, a God who is from everlasting to everlasting, and speaks about his judgment, but also speaks about his mercy and his steadfast love and his grace. So in this psalm, as we look at it, it does call us to reflect. It does call us to think upon our own mortality, on our own sin, our own daily need, of renewal, our need for that steadfast love of the Lord and the compassion of our God every day. So let's look at the first few verses in this psalm. First Psalm 90, verse 1 says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. You've been our dwelling place in all generations. So we see of the Lord that he is the place where we dwell and find security. He is a refuge for us. He is a place of protection. He is a home. He is a place of rest. He's a place where we are called to belong and we dwell with our God. And he has been and will continue to be this place of protection and dwelling for his people, and he still is for us today. And you think of that picture of dwelling. Dwelling is a significant picture. I think of that, especially in relation to where our church is located and the ministry that we've been able to have with Habitat for Humanity and the different partnerships and times we've had there. And I've been able to go to the Habitat for Humanity where they dedicate the homes, and I get to be there as these new homeowners enter into these new homes. And as they do that, it is a shift in their life where there is this new security and safety and hope that they find. And it is a picture of the greater need that we have, the greater hope, the greater protection, the greater fulfillment and satisfaction that we're called to find in our God, who is our dwelling place, who is our refuge, who is our rock. And then as we see in verse 2, we see more about who our God is. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. So one of the reasons he is a secure and trusting dwelling place is because he is the God who is the eternal God, who was, who is, and who will always be. He is from everlasting to everlasting. He is a secure dwelling place for his people, for us. Before the current struggle that you're personally walking through right now, God was and will be. And when he brings you to the other side of what you're walking through, he still is the eternal God. He is the one who is our dwelling place and who is our rock. He is unchanging, and therefore we can trust him. He's brought the saints of old through, and he will sustain us through the storm. We're called to dwell in our Lord. I think of Christ, even being in the boat, thinking of the illustration of that boat, as he was in the boat with the disciples in the storm. He was there in the midst. He was with them, and then he would later teach them, abide in me and I in you. As we continue through this psalm, verse 3 says, you return man to dust, and you say, return, O children of man. Now the psalm, it just teaches us as this talks about who God is. It also says a little bit about who we are. We're reminded that we are not like the everlasting God. We are not from everlasting to everlasting. We are those who will not live forever unless we will all die and be buried unless Christ, again, if he comes again and brings us to be with him. And we're reminded that we have limitations that our God does not have. God is a rock and refuge, a dwelling place, and we are not the same. We are movable while he is unmovable. We're reminded that our bodies will perish. We will return to dust. We can't beat death. It doesn't matter how organically healthy we eat. We will die. It doesn't matter how well we keep track of our sleep score or how often we close our circles on our watch, our exercise app. We can't beat death. We are not like our God. And this psalm reminds us of that, reminds us of our frailty. And in reminding of us of our frailty, if we drop down to verse 7 and 8, this psalm reminds us of our sin. And Vladdy helped us even as he walked us through this morning, just of our reality of our need for the forgiveness and grace of our God because of our sin, that we fall short. Verse 7 says, for we are brought to an end by your anger. By your wrath we are dismayed. You have set our iniquity before you, our secret sins in light of your presence. So the psalm reminds us of the justice of our God, even the just judgment. And often I say, and I'll say it probably a gazillion times over the next 8 years as I have these first 8 years, that our God is a God who is good and therefore he is just. Just like any judge that we have, an earthly judge, we don't want them to wink at the crimes when it's been committed against us, right? We want justice. We want there to be a just judgment. And our God is a good judge, but there is also mercy and forgiveness that we know is found in our God, and we know is portrayed so beautifully in the death and the resurrection of Christ that we've sung about today. So as we think about these things, and it kind of builds up the context for this end prayer of this psalm, as we get to that theme of the steadfast love of our God. So follow down and look down at verse 12 and following there. Begin, so teach us Teach us to number our days that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servants. We need to ask God for wisdom to teach us. In light of the brevity of our days, we are those who need the wisdom and instruction of our God, that we might walk in wisdom. We are those who are in need of it. We are not the source of all wisdom. I know maybe you feel like sometimes you are, but you're not. Our God is. We need to pray and ask Him to give us a heart of wisdom, teach us to number our days and live in light of that brevity of our life. And think of Ephesians 5:15 through 17 that says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And then verse 14 says, "Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days." So here's that prayer, that cry out to the Lord, recognizing that it is our God who is the source of all that satisfies and all that fulfills. The Lord is the one who brings gladness and joy to our life. So this psalm, it ends in this prayer of great hope and satisfaction that's found in God and His steadfast, unfailing love. And this is a prayer that we see that is a cry out in the morning, "Satisfy us in the morning," the very beginning of the day, might we be satisfied. And this is a cry to us, "Satisfy us." This is a corporate prayer. We need to encourage one another in this to pray this way. Now, I don't know about you, because we all, the Lord kind of makes us differently. I've heard it recently. He said He's not a copyist, but He's an artist. And some of us, like myself, we're morning people. So I don't mind waking up in the morning. And most days, I would say that I feel like sleeping in's overrated. A lot of times when I do sleep in, but I always feel like, man, I just missed out on a whole bunch of stuff. And others of you, you're like, no, I'll just stay up really late so I can sleep in. And that's good. But I like to get up in the morning. I think I like to rise and get up, but while it's still quiet, while the world is kind of quiet, and kind of step in. Very early on, I think it was like this. I remember going out to school, up to college, and a lot of people did not get up early, so I was able to get up and kind of be in the peace of the campus. And we had a little chapel on campus that I was able to find and kind of spend some time in. And then I think in my time up at, I mentioned in my prayer camp, Idra Haji, and I was there for a year, and it was at teepee camp. We stayed in this little cabin with four guys, and I got to get up early and just be with the Lord. And then time in Ecuador, it was such a loud, crazy place. I would get up as early as I could just to maybe get a piece of, some little bit of peace and quiet. And I think what draws me to wake and rise early is so that I can be still before the Lord. And that I might maybe grab a glimpse of that steadfast love of the Lord. Now for me, I'd say waking up in the morning, it doesn't mean that it's always a pleasant time in the morning. I'm not always in a good head and heart space when I wake. I don't know if you're ever like that. You wake up and you just kind of wrestle with the day. I'm not always ready to face the day. I'm not always excited about the tasks that I have to tackle and walk through. I don't get up because of that. I guess you could say that there's probably some days where I wake up and I kind of dread the day. Do you ever have days like that? And you're like, oh. But I get up because I find often that the Lord rescues me with His steadfast love, that He speaks and renews through His word. So I need it, because I don't know where I'd be without it. I need the steadfast, unfailing love of God. And He rescues. And this steadfast love. Again, just like how I often talk about God being a just, good judge, I often talk about the steadfast love of the Lord and its meaning. And I know we've gone over it recently, but again, be reminded, this word steadfast love, it's the Hebrew word hesed, that again, we don't have a great translation in English. If you've ever learned another language, I'm sure Vladdy could tell you there's different Spanish words that just don't fit in English anywhere. So you have to, like, your brain always, it brings that up instead of whatever other word. And that's just how it is. And this is one of those words. One dictionary defines it this way, as loving kindness, mercy, goodness, faithfulness, love, acts of kindness. That's all in one word, packed in. And so it's good. It's amazing. The love of God is such a word that we can't just fit it with one word. We need all sorts of words to kind of pack it in. And one of my favorite, definitions of it is by Paul Miller in his book. I think it's in the Loving Life book, where he says, a word unique to Hebrew that combines love and loyalty. Sometimes hesed is translated steadfast love. It combines the commitment with sacrifice. Hesed is a one-way love. Love without an exit strategy. When you live with hesed love, you bind yourself to the object of your love, no matter what the response. Your response to the other person is entirely independent of how that person has treated you. And then I love this. Hesed is a stubborn love. So this is a steadfast, unfailing love of our God. It's a stubborn love. Man, what a great thing to pray for. Satisfy us in the morning with your stubborn, steadfast, unfailing love. It's the thing that we most need, that first thing that we most need in the morning. We need the love of our God to start off our day. We need to pray it. We need to sing it. If you like to sing, maybe create yourself a playlist that has songs that remind you of the steadfast love of the Lord. We need to read it. We need to be reminded of it. The steadfast love of the Lord, I know this might be shocking for some, it's better than coffee in the morning. It's better than coffee in the morning. Now, you can combine it. It's okay to combine your Bible reading with a cup of coffee. I have my coffee maker. It's set in the morning. Sometimes it's at 5:15, others at 4:45, depending on the day. And I hear it going. I'm like, okay, wake me up. But it's so much better than anything you could scroll through in the morning. Sometimes we wake up scrolling in doom land or dissatisfaction world. But we need the steadfast love of the Lord. We need to even just put in habits and rituals in our family, in our life, that instead of inclining us to the world, inclining us to just things that fall short, we need to instill habits in our life, in our family, that incline us to His Word and His steadfast love, which is the only thing that will truly satisfy. Again, the question might be, where do we go to find joy and gladness of life? What does this psalm say? It says, again, satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all of our days. We're to look to the steadfast love of the Lord. Even in this fallen, broken world, we can be satisfied and rejoice in our God, in our King, in Christ, who pours out His love upon us. Now, it doesn't mean that the fallenness of this world is removed, that afflictions and evil are removed, but they are still present. But in the midst, the Lord continues to pour out His steadfast love upon us. I often like to say that my hope isn't that my circumstance will change, but my hope is that Christ and His steadfast love is in the midst of my circumstance. And that's where our hope is in this. May we not seek satisfaction and fulfillment in our own accomplishments. May we not seek satisfaction and fulfillment in others or fame or wealth or even a road trip to the mountains. Those things are all great and we can do those things, but may they not be what we ultimately look for to be satisfied and be glad all of our days. We are ultimately created to find satisfaction and joy in the one true and living God. Amen. So let's look to him for that. Now, as I said, now you're like, well, we're just in Psalm 90. I thought you said you were going to be around at several Psalms. Well, we're going to look at a couple more, but maybe not as long as this Psalm 90. But if you can turn, if you can go to the towards the end of Psalms and go to Psalm 143. Let's see if I can find it. I put a bookmark. I don't know. There it is. All right. Turn, yeah, to Psalm 143. Verse 8. We hear this theme of this the steadfast love of the Lord. He says, the psalmist, King David, he says, let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love. For in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go. For to you I lift up my soul. So now we have King David, he's writing this. And you might think, well, singing songs about love, isn't that kind of weak? But then who's singing this? King David, he's like this warrior. He's the only one brave enough to defeat Goliath. He was such that the Lord said, you will not build my temple with too much blood on your hand. He's a warrior. And he sings of the steadfast love of the Lord. He says, let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love. This is a psalm in the psalmist's prayer of desperation, rightly looking to the only source of hope, to the one true and living God. So he looks in the morning to the Lord. And the morning is a picture of resurrection. It's a time where the sun rises and casts away shadows and warms a cold earth. Well, maybe not in the winter, but a little bit, you know. But the sun, it's the resurrection, and we think about the morning where there's this renewal of the steadfast love of the Lord and encouragement that can be found there. Charles Spurgeon, a Baptist preacher of old, says it this way, he who made the ear will cause us to hear. He who is love itself will have the kindness to bring his loving kindness before our minds. So, the one who made us to hear. So we should pray, Lord, help me. Help me see. Help me know your steadfast love. It's something we should pray often for the Lord to direct us, to guide us, to enable us to know of his steadfast love. So may we pray that way. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love. Make me know the way I should go. That's often a prayer of mine. God, guide me, direct me. I'm clueless. I need your help. I do not know where to walk or how to walk. I need your steadfast love. And then I'm going to have you flip a little bit more. Now we're going to go the other way to Psalm 59. We see more of the steadfast love of the Lord. In Psalm 59, you even can see at the very beginning in the title that it tells you about it. It tells you what's the circumstance of David. It says, when Saul sent men to watch his house in order to kill him. So this is a psalm of David. That's a psalm of lament. It's a prayer to God during a time when Saul was seeking to kill him. He has sent men to stalk and kill him. And so this is a picture of a night watch where he goes through this night and there's enemies at the door like wild dogs ready to attack and devour. And the Lord provides, it carries him through the night. It carries, the Lord provides for David, carrying him through into the morning and provides for him. And then he says in verse 16, near the end of this psalm, as this long night has gone, but I will sing of your steadfast, I will sing of your strength. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning, for you have been to me a fortress and a refuge in the day of my distress. Of my strength, I will sing praise to you, for you, O God, are my fortress, the God who shows me steadfast love. So here, the psalm, again, this night-long waiting of attack. And maybe you've felt that even sometimes. I think nights can sometimes be long for different reasons in different periods of our life. I don't know if you've ever felt this, a burden of a long night of just feeling maybe attacked or vulnerable. Sometimes I know I have just even thoughts through my head that I wrestle through and different things in the night. And I think Satan sometimes attacks and brings false narrative into our thoughts in those hours. And we can't wait for that morning to come and the steadfast love of the Lord to be renewed and to know of his forgiveness and his grace. But here David walks through this night and then sings aloud of that steadfast love of the Lord. Just look at all these things, the way he describes this strong protection poured out upon him by God in this 16 and verse 17. He speaks about the Lord as his strength, your strength, your steadfast love. And he says, my fortress, my refuge, my strength, the Lord who shows me steadfast love. Man, shouldn't it be our prayer, shouldn't it be our song to sing about the steadfast love of our God and his protection, his strength, also combined with his love together. And we sing of these things. Again, Spurgeon, another quote from him, he says, the greater our present trial, the louder will our future song be. It's maybe hard in the midst of the trial. Some of you walk through trials right now to believe that that will be true, but that will be true. The greater our present trial, the louder our future songs will be, and the more intense our joyful gratitude. And some of you have walked through that. You've been there, and you're on the other side, and you understand that. But might we make it a practice, even as we walk through those things, to be ready to sing and remind our heart of the steadfast goodness of the Lord. A good prayer in the morning, and one that during the ladies, mothers and others tea that they talked about and thought upon was Lamentations chapter 3, verses 21 through 24 that says, but this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. So we need to call to mind things. We need to call to mind truth like this. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in you. So we need to repeat things like that to ourselves. We need to have little cards like we gave the ladies. You guys, or is that right? A little card with verses. I want to make sure I wasn't making up anything. Sometimes I do. So, no, I'm just joking. Well, maybe not. I don't know. So, we need to write verses down to remind our heart. I have a prayer on my wall that a good friend of mine, that some of you guys remember that was here with us quite a few years back, Greg Deacon gave me, and I have this prayer on my wall from this book called Every Moment Holy, and this is the prayer. And it had been a while since I looked at it, and this week I was like, oh, I need to pray this every day. It says this, meet me, O Christ, in the stillness of the morning. Meet me, O Spirit, to quiet my heart. Or move me, O Spirit, to quiet my heart. Mend me, O Father, from yesterday's harm. From the discords of yesterday, resurrect my peace. From the discouragement of yesterday, resurrect my hope. From the weariness of yesterday, resurrect my strength. From the doubts of yesterday, resurrect my faith. From the wounds of yesterday, resurrect my love. Let me enter into this new day, awake and aware of my need, and awake to your grace. We need to pray those things daily, morning by morning, week by week, year by year. We need to be those who think upon the steadfast love of our God that's shown so clearly in the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what we need. We need to dig down deep roots into the love of our God and the truth of his word, that we might grow, even if it's slow growth. Deep roots and slow growth is okay. So when we wake, may we be slow to check the news. Might we be slow to check our emails or even our text messages. May we be slow to go to the social media world of discontentment. May we look to his word. May we pick up the living word of God where we find life and even be a little slower to turn off our do not disturb on our phone, possibly, and sing things like, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Before we close out, I have all sorts of psalms about the steadfast love of the Lord, but I feel like we're kind of to run and thin on time, but just Google and search, or in your app, whatever your app is that you use, or just scroll through as you read, the steadfast love of the Lord, steadfast love of the Lord. It is so sufficient. But let me look at just a few verses in the New Testament to remind us of a couple of things. Hebrews 12:2 says, let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorned its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. We're reminded, we see the steadfast love of the Lord in Christ who died for us that we might be forgiven. Or Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Or 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him, Christ, to be sin who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God. And then one final scripture from the New Testament. If you're wondering about this theme of love and its significance, the Apostle Paul, and as we think of the Apostle Paul, we think of one who is bold and strong in his writings, not one who is maybe sentimental. Maybe that, I don't know, that's just how I think of Paul. But Paul, he prayed for the church that they might know of the depth of the love of Christ. Ephesians 3:14-19. For this reason, I bow my knee before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through the Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. Amen. We are to pray for this. We haven't even scratched the surface of the steadfast love of the Lord this morning. And if I wanted to keep us here through lunch, we would. But be reminded first, as we think about the steadfast love of the Lord and it being an anchor, we're reminded that we need to anchor our life in to the love found in Christ Jesus, one who died and rose again for us. And this morning, maybe you come this morning, you recognize that you have yet to turn and entrust your life to Jesus. This morning is a call even for you to find the steadfast love of the Lord who's ready to forgive. And this morning, if you want to learn more about what it means to follow Christ, please talk with one of us. We're ready to talk. And brother and sister Christian this morning, be reminded that we have a strong anchor in the steadfast love of the Lord that's made so sure and abundantly available to us in Christ Jesus, who is risen from the grave. Let's pray together. Dear Father God, we this morning we thank you for your kindness and your steadfast love for us. We thank you that you are a secure dwelling place for us. And we thank you even for reminding us of the brevity of our days, that we might seek wisdom from you and seek to walk in wisdom, and that we might be able to look to you to find security and rest, and that we might look to your word that speaks about from beginning to end, your steadfast, unfailing, stubborn love for us, and that you provided for us to be forgiven, that you provided for us to be restored into right relationship with you through Jesus Christ, who the one being fully God and fully man died for us and rose again, demonstrating great love, great steadfast love to us. And we thank you for the life that we have. Lord, help us. Help us to be quick to go to your word. Help us to be quick to be reminded of these things. I pray that we would cling to your mercies and steadfast love and grace that is new every morning. Lord, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this morning as we respond,